All right, nice having everybody. We're on Daf Kuf Tet Vav tonight. Ugh. Let me, I left out one line, I think, from yesterday's Gemara, which I hope to pick up right now. If you remember yesterday, we were discussing what to do if you only have chazeret. In other words, you don't have another vegetable. And the question was, do I do the mitzvah and everything and then nothing at the end, or do I just do it like regular? So it was machloket, amarayim, but I left out the one line, the Gemara after the Hilchata, so in the small Aleph, six lines down on Kuftev of an Aleph, 115a. So the Gemara says, the Hilchata Kvati the Rav Chista. The halacha is like Rav Chista, which is that you'll make the bracha, you'll be Yotzi the mitzvah initially, and then you'll just eat it later on without a bracha. But then the Gemara says, Rav Acha Bere de Rava, Mahadar Ashar Yirako, La Pukinav Shemi Pluta. Rav Acha Bere de Rava, he would try, he would exert himself to find other vegetables, so he wouldn't have to be nichnas to this whole machloket. And that's obviously the way we do it. You know, I should mention that, you know, different people use different vegetables for karpas. In the old Haggadahs, it would say to use parsley, but I've heard that I think Rav Schechter says that you shouldn't use parsley. Parsley is not eaten anymore, like it's a separate Bori Pri Adama. I think it's now, like if you eat it by itself, it should be a Shehakol. So they say to use celery, but in Rav Teitz's home, Rav Blau had mentioned to me a number of years ago that they would use a banana for karpas. Because banana is like, why are you eating banana now? It's like the purpose of the karpas is to arouse questions. Although after a while you get habituated with it, I guess. Oh, here's the banana, it's karpas. But that's the way that goes. All right, now let me go to the next sukkah. We're on eight lines down on Kuftev Amud Aleph. And welcome back to Aaron Moshe, who's back with us, I assume, in New York, Aaron Moshe, right? Arthur, you're back in New York, right? Okay, he said, I can't hear you, but you're back in New York.
Yes.
Okay, welcome back. Okay, so Amar Ravina, Amar Li Bram Rashar Shire Rav Natan Hachi Amar Hillel, Mishmei de Gemara, says that Rav Sharshi says that this is what Hillel says, and Hillel had a Masorah. Now, Hillel is a Tana, but Hillel's a Tana that goes back, you know, to the time of the Beis Hamikdash. He's one of the Zugot. He's one of the early Tanaim when they had pairs of different Tanaim. So Hillel says, Mishmei de Gemara, Hillel had a Masorah this way. He says, Lo nichroch inish matzo maror b'hadi adadi v'neichul. A person shouldn't wrap the matzah and the maror together and have a sandwich. Should not do that. Mishum desfirulan matzah b'zmanaz et deraita umaror derabanan v'ati maror derabanan v'ati le matzah deraita. That the chiyuv of matzah is an obligation that stands by itself. So Chazal teach us, it says, Ba'erev tochlu matzot. So in the evening, she eat matzah. So whether you have a korban pesach, no korban pesach, there's a mitzvah to eat matzah. So the mitzvah of matzah is in its form, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, even b'zman hazeh. But the mitzvah maror is tied to the korban pesach for reasons that we'll see shortly. So there's no korban pesach. The mitzvah maror is only mitzvah rabbanan, only rabbinic mitzvah. So he says, if you're going to eat the mitzvah matzah and the mitzvah, eat the matzah and the maror together, so he says, ati maror mvatel the matzah deraita, that the taste of the maror will be vatel the taste of the mitzvah deraita. It means it's working on a, you know, scholastic level, on a halakhic level, is saying if I'm having one item is obligated to rice and one's the rabbanan, and the tastes are going to mix in with one another, so it's going to be mevatel the mitzvah. That's what he says. He says v'afilu man da'amar mitzvah rei mevatlo zu et zu, and even according to the opinion that says that. I made a mistake, by the way, before. I'm sorry, I got to correct myself. When I mentioned Hillel before, that was not the Tana. It was a little tricky. That's an Amara named Hillel. Let me go back. So he's quoting from Hillel, but that's not the Tana Hillel. Right? That's an Amara Hillel. But it's going to relate to Halacha from Hillel, the Tana. Okay? So he says, even according to the opinion, the mitzvot are not mevatel zuzu, and they'll see that'll be the opinion of Hillel. He says, "Hani mili doraita b'doraita with rabbanan with rabbanan." If they're both doraita or both rabbanan, they're not going to be vata one another. Well, doraita with rabbanan, ati rabbanan vata le doraita. But if they're mixed in together, the rabbanan will undermine the mitzvah doraita. Okay, so let's go back just briefly. So Ramasharshi, the son of Rav Natan, says that what Hillel, again, this is Hillel the Amora, he says that based on the Masorah, Shmei the Gemara, that a person, Bizman Hazeh, everybody will agree that Bizman Hazeh, for the mitzvah of matzah, I shouldn't wrap the maror together with the matzah, because then I won't be, the mitzvah. So I should have matzah by itself. Everybody would agree I should have matzah by itself. Now, let's see further. The Gemara says, Mantana, this is around 10 lines above where it gets wide on Kuftet Vavman Aleph. So the Gemara says, Mantana, the Shamalei, mitzvah, reimavad lo zuzu. Who's the Tana that says one mitzvah will not be mevatel another mitzvah? So he says, Hillel, that's the Tana Hillel. That's the Hillel the Tana. He says, the Tanya, we learned the Braisa, Amru Allah Hillel, is externally Halael, Sheu Korachan Bavada Achad for Ochlan. He would wrap. Now, Korachan Bavada Achad, if you look at the Rashi upstairs, the second wide line, Korachan Bavada Achad, Pesach Matzah Maror. He would take the Pesach, the Matzah, and the Maror, and wrap them all together. I guess have a nice sandwich, the Pesach Matzah and Maror, and that's the way he would do the mitzvahs. He's Shenemar Amasodorum Yochluhu. Now, this Pesach that he's quoting is a Pesach by Pesach Sheni. So the Pesach Sheni is in Parshas Baha'alotcha, and it says that you'll eat the Pesach Sheni Al Matzodum Rim Yochluhu. You'll eat it together with the matzah and the maror. Now, the Mefarshim ask, why is he quote this pasuk by Pesach Sheni? In other words, he's trying to talk about the mitzvah. In other words, the idea is quoting a pasuk by Pesach Sheni, and from there we're going to extrapolate to Pesach Rishon and assume the halacha would be the same thing. That's the thrust of the Gemara. So the Mefarshim ask, why does he quote from Pesach Sheni? So I saw today the Rashash. But I saw also Rav Simon Rav Simon came out with a new sefer recently, a perush on the Haggadah. Here's the sefer. Anyway, but he happens to quote this in the sefer from the Avnei Nezer, but they both seem to say the same thing. that when it says above, when the Torah says A and B, and it's connected by above, it means it could be both together, or it could be both either one individually. It could be both together or either one individually. So, but al means with. Al means definitely means with. So the pasuk by Pesach Rishon says v'yachlu basar b'layla hazeh sli'esh u'matzot amrum yochluhu. So it says sli'esh, the Pesach will be roasted, u'matzot, and matzahs. So that could be and matzahs, or it could be separately. Then al marorim, with marorim, that the marorim is definitely included in it. But the one by Pesach Sheni, let's look at the Pesach by Pesach Sheni. Pesach by Pesach Sheni says, al matzorim yochluhu, you'll eat the yochluhu, you'll eat it. It is the korban Pesach, you'll eat that al matzorim, with the matzah and the maror. So he felt it's more clear, or Hillel felt he had, the raya was clearer, he thought, from that Pesach. So let's take a look further. So the idea is Hillel holds eat all three together. Today we have a sandwich at the Seder, but we don't obviously have a Korban Pesach, but we'll talk shortly. So he would eat all three together. So now Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Cholkin Lav Chavei Raval Hillel. So Rabbi Yochanan says that his colleagues dispute him. His chaverim do not agree with the eating all together. The Tanya, because we learn in the Braisa, Yechol Yehi Korachan Vadachad VaOchlan. I might think that I should make a sandwich like Hillel says of all three items. He says Kiderach Shehil Ochlan, like Hillel did it. Talmud Lomar. Now here, the Talmud Lomar on the side, you see the small bays. He corrects it. Here we should be quoting the pasuk in Parshat Bo, which is Al Matzodim Orim. So he's using the other pasuk, Al Matzodim Orim Yochluhu Afilu Zeh B'fnei Asma V'Zeh B'fnei Asma. In other words, he's saying Pumfaker. If you look at the pasuk in Pesach Rishon, it sounds like it doesn't sound like it has to be together. It could even be separately. So Matkid L'Rabashi. So the Gemara, we assume the Gemara is trying to prove that Badafka, you should have them all separately. That's the way we think is going with this. So let me get this out of the way. So the Gemara says, Matkifa Ravashi, Yahachi, Maya Afilu. So what does it mean Afilu? Afilu sounds like that it could be separate, but certainly it could be together. In other words, afilo. In other words, you could even have it separately, is what the Chachamim seem to be saying. But certainly you could have it together. So how's that working out? That's that we want to prove they say dafka separately. So Matkilo Ravashi Haki Maya Filu. Elam Ravashi Hai Tana Haki Katani. Ravashi says that the Tana of the Braisa learns like this. He says, Yacholo Yetse Bahu Yidechabatom King Korcham Varachad, but Ochlan, Kder Shahilo Ochlan. I might think that I have to do it the way Hillel says. Tamalomar, Amasom Yochlu, who if you lose Zebthneasmo, Zebthneasmo. It could be either or. So the Braisa is only proving that it could be together or it could be separately, according to the Chachamim. Now, Rabbi Yochanan, though, had, let me try and get this straightened out here, this camera. So Rabbi Yochanan had, let me get the focused. One second. There we go. Okay. So Rabbi Yochanan had said that the Chachamim are mechulak with him. So it means we can't prove it from the Braisa that they're mechulak, but Rabbi Yochanan had a Masorah that indeed the Chachamim were mechulak with him. And it was from that Braisa, it's not muchrach that they definitely disagree with Hillel. And they disagree. Hillel says you have to have them together. The Braisa only proves you could do it together, you could do it separately. But Rabbi Yochanan had a Masorah that indeed they were mechulak and held that it had to be separately. All right, now let's go slowly with this. Then I'll say some things, and we'll take pause for questions, comments, and thoughts. So it comes out the way the Derech the Aretz Yisroel took it like this. Everybody agrees b'zman hazeh matzah you have to have separately. Even Hillel would agree matzah b'zman hazeh you have to have separately, because if you have it with the maror, you're going to get messed up. Then the Chachamim hold that I should have the maror by itself because that's the mitzvah of maror. Then, according to Hillel, you should have the matzah and the maror together. So the matzah at that point would be matzah's reshus. In other words, after I fulfill the mitzvah matzah, so the mitzvah matzah is just optional. So I'll have the optional matzah together with the maror, and then that I'll fulfill the mitzvah derabanan. Now, then you could ask, why isn't the matzah mevatel the tam maror? We said that when it was when we said when one was Dereis and one's Rabbanan, it was messing it up. Now I have one is Rishus and one is the Mitzvah de Rabbanan. So in footnote 21, he quotes from the Chidush Aran, he says that we have to do it to make a commemoration the way it was done in the Beis HaMikdash. So we eat the matzah by itself, we do the whole thing, but he says it has to be eaten together with the matzah. He says we don't say that discretionary consumption of matzah would nullify the mandatory eating maror, since we're required to make a commemoration of the way the matzah and maror were eaten in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. That's where the run goes. Now, I don't know if everybody agrees with this. I was talking this over Rabbi Packer today. He said it was machloket rishonim. I think other rishonim hold that no, everybody would hold that the mitzvah d'oraisa is with the matzah, and the mitzvah d'rabbanan is with the maror, and then the zeich l'mikdash kehillah would be nothing, I think. Now, let me just do the Mishnah Berurah with this and talk about some things, then I'll pause, okay? So, let me get Simon Tafai and Gimel. make it Tafai and Hay. Yeah, so the Mishnah Berurah goes through this in Siman Tafai and Hay, Sif Katan Tet Zion, and he says, you need a Kazayas Matzah and a Kazayas Maror when you do the Korech. So let me go slowly with this. So when you eat the matzah, so we usually say you need two Kazayas and a matzah, one from the middle matzah, one from the top matzah. It's not clear which matzah you're going to do the mitzvah with. That's one way. And then there's also a question about the shear. So the two kazesim, we do like a small measure, and then two kazesim together would be equal one big measure of kazayas, so that you'd be out to the mitzvah of matzah. That's the way with that. Then with the korech, so the korech, we're going to eat, for the korech, we're going to take, I think, from the bottom matzah, right? And that's what we're going to use with the korech. And then we'll have, and for the korech, he says, one second. Yeah, so you need a kazayas matzah and a kazayas maror with the korech. Now he says that the reason for the kricha is the Hillel, Amasam Yochluhu, so showing, and so he says maror, he says just the rabbanan. So anyway, so you eat the matzah first, you'll be able to the mitzvah matzah, and then it sounds like you do the mitzvah maror. Now, the mechaber says, he says that he says va'omer zeichel mikdash kehillel. Now, when the Zeichel Mekdash Kehillel, there's two versions. Some say Zeichel Mekdash Kehillel, Kachaya Sibs Mash Mekdash Kiyam, Hekorech Matzah Umarur V'Ochel B'Yachad. Some say you should say Hekorech Pesach Matzah Umarur V'Ochel B'Yachad. Remember, we saw the Rashi and the Rashbam, they both say he made the sandwich with Pesach Matzah and Maror. So I saw today there was the Chok Yaakov, it's here in the district, Dirshu Mishabrua. He says not to say Pesach Matzah Maror. When I was in Yeshiva Katana, there was a rabbi who said, I remember the principal said, I remember it was in seventh grade, he said it should be Pesach Matzah Maror. So, but the Chok Yaakov holds not that way. He holds that if you would say Pesach Matzah Maror, it would be making like a lie of what you're doing. In other words, you're saying Zeichel Mekdash Hillel. This reminds us of what Hillel did. I don't have the Pesach with it. And also, I might be led to believe, take some of the roasted meat and put it with and eat it. And eating the roasted meat is not good. In other words, like if I'm going to say, Korech Pesach Matzah Maror, I might end up taking a piece of roasted meat and eating with it. We don't want you to do that. So he says to leave it out. Now, there's a question when you say the Zeichel Mikdash Kehillel. So the Mechaber says, Omer Zeichel Mikdash, in other words, according to the Mechaber, you make the brach on the matzah. Then you eat the matzah. You make the brach on the maror, you eat the maror. Then the mechaber says, you say, Zeich lemikdash kehillel, blah, 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 blah. And then you eat the sandwich. That's the way the mechaber says it. So the Mishnah Berurah in the Be'er Halacha says that, he says that's a hefsek between the bracha and the kricha. In other words, the bracha on the maror, I want that to also be chal on the sandwich. But I'm interrupting with extraneous like language in between. So he says, and he says it's a dochak to say it's like me'inin hasuda, like tul barech, like you say to somebody here, make a bracha on this or something like that. Like it's, so he says, we don't see it in the posek that has the language of the mechaber. So he says, lule de mistafina, if I wasn't so like hesitant or afraid, I would say you need to make that statement. It should be Tovel b'charoset Zeichel Mikdash Kehillel. You dip it all in charoset Zeichel Mikdash Kehillel. He says, "Va'omer." He says that's like just thrown in. In other words, you just dip it like Zeichel Mikdash Kehillel. So let me see what he says here. One minute. Yeah. So he says you should eat it and then say that Haggadah. So in other words, that's what the Mishnah Berurah says in the Be'er Halacha, that you should eat it and then make the statement later on. And then you did the Zeichel Mikdash Kehillel and you did everything. All right, so I think we covered the main points in the sugya so far. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything I said or did so far? What's up
first? I do. Why, there must be some like simple Rashi on this. Why is the Lashon different by Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni in the Chumash?
I cannot answer the question. I don't know how to answer that.
In other words, the instructions are the same.
That's what our sugi is really turning on, the machloka between Hillel and the Chachamim on the different verbiage by Pesach Sheni and Pesach Rishon. That's what it turns on. I don't know why it was different one for the other. All right. Well, any other questions?
It was telling you to do essentially the same thing, right?
Well, but what is the same thing? What is it that it's telling us to do? That's the $64,000 question. All right, Michael, you want to say something? You look like you're chopping.
Yeah, Robert Rosner said that you have to be careful then between matzah, maror, and the korach, not to talk, not to be mafsik, because the brachas on the korach is from your
korach. Anyway,
from your korach, and the briskers would not have a korach like that, but they would wrap the maror around the matzah.
Right. That's the sheet of the Rav. I know it has like that. Rav Shechter writes that's the way the Rav would do it. The thing is like this. It's that you're touching on the language of korech. Korech means like to wrap. So what's been, did he talk about like the soft matzahs, Michael, or what?
Yes, but he mostly said that they did it with
The thing is, something is being wrapped. So Briskers assumed that it must be like the lettuce, which is being wrapped, because the matzahs were all like the European type matzahs, like crackers. But some want to say that no, it means like the matzahs they were using are like falafel, like not like our matzahs. Like they have the soft consistency of like a lot of the Sephardim. I know Rabbi Menashe Zichron Levracha, he had like these soft matzahs that looked like pita bread. So then that could be the korech. In other words, that's what's being wrapped around. Is a strong possibility. All right, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Are we good? All right. And welcome, Aaron Gershon. Your wife was saying hello to us before. All right. All right. 1 minute. All right. Let me go on. All right. Now, all right. So back in the Gemara. All right. Now, where did I leave off? So, okay, did I do Matkif La Rav Ashi? Did I do that already? So four lines, I'll go back. Okay, so now the first wide line, the end of the line. Hashla Witmar Hilkata Lok Hillel Velok Rabbanan. So since the halacha was not stated like Hillel or like the Chachamim, Mevarech Halachilat Matzah V'Achil. So the Gemara says you make the brach on the matzah, you eat some matzah. Then you make the bracha on the maror, you eat the maror. Then you eat them both together without a bracha. All right? Now, the two lines from the bottom. Now, in the Mishnah that we did yesterday.
Why does the Haggadah tell you to dip the maror in charoset at that point?
It's coming up, but again, the Mishnah said already, we said there were two tibulim, right? The two dippings. Right. So that's one of the dippings, is the maror and the charoset. What's the problem?
Right, and I'm asking why, if it's a korech of matzah, maror, what does the charoset have to do with it?
Okay, hang tight. We'll do it tonight and tomorrow night. Give me a few more lines in the Gemara, okay? All right, so the Gemara says two lines from the bottom. Now, again, in the Mishnah that we did yesterday, we said that the Mishnah says, Hevi lufanav metabu b'chazeret. And we said, Hevi lufanav is either bringing the table with all the food or they're bringing the vegetables. And he's metabu b'chazeret. Again, the Mishnah has only said you have like this lettuce or this maror type of thing you're using. I'm using maror loosely. You're taking the chazeret, which is the first item of the bitter herbs. You're dipping the chazeret. And then you're going to dip the chazeret again later on. So the Mishnah referred to dipping it twice. So two lines from the bottom. So Amr Blazar, Amr Boshia, Kol Shiti B'lo B'mashke Tzirich Netil Yadayim. Anytime I'm going to dip something in a liquid, I have to do Netil Yadayim ahead of time. So it means that the Chamur goes there, the person's hands are Shniot L'tuma. A person's hands are Shein L'tuma. Now another Xavier Rabbanan is if I touch liquid, it doesn't go down a notch, it goes up a notch. So liquid goes up from being, instead of a shlishi, it becomes a rishon latuma. That's one gzera derabanan. So it's saying now there's machlok in how this works. So it's either you could say that Bizman Chazal, even the chulin that they would eat b'tahara. That's one way to say. So they have to have a b'tahara. Or the other way is to say that there's like just like they were mitakein netilas yadayim for bread, they're mitakein netilas yadayim in this case as well. In other words, so if I'm going to dip something in a liquid, the Chum say I should wash my hands ahead of time because I'm dipping in a liquid, my hands are shaining the tuma. In other words, I'm not in the part of a meal. I'm just having something in a dip. They dipped everything. So if I'm dipping in a liquid, my hands touch the liquid, so then the liquid becomes a rishon l'tuma. Then the rishon l'tuma is going to be mitame the food. Everything's going to be a big mess. So it's either a big mess for my chulin or it's a big mess like strach l'truma, like for the konim who are eating truma. So the Bali Tos would say it's just because of chulin that they eat the chulin state of tahara. So now we don't eat chulin state of tahara, so we don't need to do it. But the other Rishonim learn that it was done because like the Chachamim were talking to Tilis Adayim before bread, we're talking to Tilis Adayim before the Varsh Tibulo B'mashka. So if that's the case, then I still have to do it. So the Mechaber splits the difference. He says you have to wash your hands, but don't make a bracha on it. Okay, so let's see back in the Gemara. So he says, Amr Blazar, Amr Voshia, koshti b'loba mashka. Anything, anytime you're going to dip something in a mashka, tzarech netilas yadayim. You have to have your netilas yadayim. So now we assume that he was making the statement in reference to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah spoke about two dippings. So we're assuming that it's dabar shti b'loba mashka, and therefore you have to do netilas yadayim. So Amar Papa Shmamina, so Papa says one could deduce from this, Hai Chasa, which is like this lettuce, you know, the Chazeret, top line on Kufzat Vavam Beis 115b. He says, Sarach Lashakui Becharoset Mishum Kappa. You have to like really dip the whole thing totally in the Charoset, Mishum Kappa. So here the Gemara gives the first reason why we're dipping the maror in the charoset, he says, Mishum Kappa. Now, there's a machloket among the mafarshim what kappa means. So, some want to say kappa means like this acrid, you know, sap or whatever, you know, that gives the maror its bitter taste. So, I wanted like dilute it by dipping it into the thing. Then, another pshat, which the Bali Tosfot quote, but it's from Rabbi Elchanan Hill, is a worm. It's like some worm known as the kappa. And it comes out. There's a whole machloket whether this worm would or would not be permissible to be eaten. But even if I assume the halacha is like Shmuel that I can't eat the worm, but the worm is kind of remote that I would eat such a worm. But so I don't have to worry about it in terms of kashrut. But in terms of sakana, chamira sakanta mi sura. So the Bali Tosfot would say, one second. If you look at the end of the second Tosfos kappa, or he says. He says, "Im kein amayt sarich charoset came in like a kappa, the shem barov yirako it ain't behem kappa, the samish shmuel aruba umishum sakana the kappa chayshin on lemiuta b'sarich charoset." So there's a small minority that may have this worm, and the worm would be a sakana if you would eat it. So I have to dip it in the charoset to kill the worm. That would be another pshat. So back in the Gemara, the top line. So the Gemara said, and this was from Rav Papa. So hai chasa sarach shakui b'charoset. I have to totally immerse it in the charoset mishum kappa. In other words, totally immerse it, it means my fingers will come into contact with the liquid. Again, the charoset's got wine in it and things like that. You assume there's like a liquid mass there. So he says, the isa kadai lo sarach shakui. If I don't have to totally immerse the maror in the charoset, he says, then tilya dayam lamali. Why do I need to wash my hands? Hello, Naga. He's not going to touch the liquid, so there's no problem with it. Why would I have to do special Natilia Dayim to, you know, because that's what he wants to say. So he's extrapolating from the statements. I have a statement in the Mishnah, then I have the statement from Rabbi Lazar. Amar Boshia, that you have to do until Siddayim, and he assumes it's on our Mishnah, so he says it must be, you have to totally immerse the Maror in the Charoset. So the Gemara says, V'dilma li'olami malach lo tzirich l'shakue. Maybe he doesn't have to totally immerse it in the Charoset. You know, he could just do a little bit, and his hands won't touch the liquid. V'kapa merechamayit, and the kapa, whether it be a worm, or whether it be like the acrid, the sharpness of the Maror, like merechamai, it means it's going to die from the aroma. And Rashi says he refers to, let me see what the Rashi is or the Rashbam. One second. One of them says, one second, where is it? 1 minute. Well, somewhere it says that it's because of the yeah. Yeah, he quotes it later on. He says the tapuchim are the things that are given, like it's the charoset. So tapuach we usually translate as an apple, but like the Rav Schachter points out in one of his svarim that tapuchim are really a citrus fruit. In other words, like you have like the citrus fruit is very acrid aroma to it. So he says back in the Gemara, this is v'kapa mirechamai. The kapa, whether it be like the sharp taste or with this worm, it'll die from the aroma of the tapuchim that's in the charoset. Elo lamali natilya dayim. So why do we need natilya dayim if he's not going to touch the liquid? Dilma mishakule. In other words, so it's you can't necessarily prove you have to totally immerse the maror in the charoset. It could be just a little bit, but we're concerned you might touch the liquid, and therefore we require it until you die. That's what we think. But Amara Papa, Rapapa also says, though Hinishi Inish Marur Bacharoset, a person shouldn't leave, should not leave the Marur like an extraordinarily long time in the Charoset. He says, Dilma Agav Chalye de Tavlin Mabatle Lemrore, because like the Chalye de Tavlin, he says the sweetness of the spices. In other words, of the elements that are in the charoset, he says that it'll be mevatel the bitterness of the maror. But inan tamaror veleka, and we need the tamaror, and we don't have it. Okay, let me pause for a second. Who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything I did so far? Just looks, but no questions. Okay, so I'm going to move on. Okay, so we're 8 lines down on Kuftev Amvez. Okay,
so, I think I'm missing something here.
What?
You have Urchatz, that's for the Karpas early on.
Right, that's what we're talking about.
Right, but now we're talking about the Maror and the Charoset.
Yeah. Remember, the Mishnah said that you don't have like the vegetable for Karpas. The Mishnah
says, still on that case?
On the Mishnah, yeah, with the Chazaret.
Because the second Nitzulat Yadayim is on the Matzah.
Oh, okay, so right. We'll talk about it with the Matzah in a minute. Okay, we'll get to it, okay? All right, so now the Gemara says, Iberi Rav Chista Rabana Ukva Bedarash. So Rav Chista led Rabana Ukva, and Rabana Ukva made the following drasha. Natalya da Batibul Rishon, Natalya da Batibul Sheni. That even if he washes his hands for a first dipping, he has to wash his hands again for the second dipping. That's what we said. So Amru Rabbanan Kamei to Rapapa. The Chamei repeats the statement for Rapapa, and they said to Rapapa, Haba Alma Itmar. Mestama, when he said about washing the hands twice, Mistami was talking about not Leil HaSeder, meaning that a person's having a meal or whatever, or just eating, he's just sitting eating food. So he dips something once, and he doesn't know he'll dip something again later on. He has Hesei Chadas, so then he has to wash his hands again the second time around. That's what we think. He says the Isal Kadaita Chacha Itmar, because if you would assume that Rabbana Ukva was talking about Leil HaSeder, he says, why would he have to wash his hands twice? He says, Hamasha le yadei chadazimna. He already washed his hands once, and he's not going to have Hesei Chadas from it, so why would he require to wash his hands twice? That's what he said. So Amar Luhu Rapapa. Rapapa said to the Talmidim, Adrama, Punk Fakert, Hacha Itmar. No, indeed, the statement was made concerning the Seder. The Isak Daita Ba'alma Itmar, if you said it's like in the Veltarine, nothing to do with the Seder, Lamali Tre Tibuli, why would a person dip twice? And it was like they didn't like dip normally twice, something like that. Elamai Hacha Itmar, so it was said concerning the Seder, until you daim Tre Zimni Lamali, Hamasha Le Yade Chadazimna, why do you need to wash the hands twice? So the Gemara says, Amri came into Bai Lamemar Gadata Bahalela, since in between washing one and washing number two, you're going to say the whole Haggadah, and that could take a very long time, and Bahalela, and you're going to say at least part of the Hallel. He says, Dilma Suchi Asche Ledaite Benaga. So maybe he'll have Hesei Chadas and touch something, and then the hands aren't, you know, clean anymore, or in a situation where he could touch it. Now, let me just do one thing here. One second. Now, if you look at the second Toso, Sarashit told Batibul Sheni, he has to wash his hands with Batibul Sheni. Toso says, Lav Davka Nakat Batibul Sheni. It's not so precise, he says, for the second dipping. He says, the Ha'avid Lay Batar Hamotzi, the Bai Natil Yadayim. He's talking about the second dipping is after you said Hamotzi, so he needs this dime for the bread. Ela Agav Tibul Rishon, Naka Tibul Sheni. In other words, he said Tibul Rishon, he's saying like there will be two Tibulim, but it's not the washing. The washing that's going to take place will be really for the bread, but it'll cover it. But Natilinami, Gamla Sorok Tibul Bia, the Ba. The second washing will also cover the Tibul, so we'll be good with that. All right. Any questions, comments, and thoughts on anything I did so far? All right, let me move on. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. I'm up to near the small Dalet, all right, around midway down the column. I'm a Rava, Bala Matzah Yetzah, Bala Maror Lo Yetzah. So Rava says, if I swallow the matzah and I don't chew it, I just swallow it straight into my throat, I'm Yotze the Mitzvah. I don't need to chew the matzah. In other words, I have Be'erev Toklu Matzot. I have to eat the matzah, and that's called Achila. That's called Achila, even though I did not chew it. And the way our gears in the Gemara is bala maror lo yatsa. But if I just swallow the maror, I'm not yotze. Because there I have to taste the mariris. I have to taste the bitterness of it. And if I just swallow it, I don't taste the bitterness of it. Now, there's a different girsa that Rashi has, which is bala maror yatsa, not lo yatsa, but bala maror yatsa, that you are yotze. If you look at the Rashi around the fourth narrow line, the lo is in parentheses, which means you take it out. He says, ef shar shalo tambo tam maror. So Rashi wants to say that even if I didn't chew the maror, I must have tasted some of the bitterness of it. But I think we'll do the other way, which is the way that the Rashbam learns. He says, if you look at the first medium wide line of the Rashbam downstairs, Bala maror lo yatsa, deba'inan tam maror v'leki, need to taste the maror, dipshum hachi kabin rachman l'marer piv shel ochel zecher l'may maror et chayehem. Kach matzati ketub b'chol ha'sfarim perush Rabbeinu Chananel. He says, that's the way I saw it written. So it's bala maror lo yatsa. Okay, so let's see back in the Gemara.
What about the afikoman though? It's supposed to remain in the taste is supposed to remain in the mouth. Right?
Right. And so therefore
you swallow that?
Well, in other words, it's not ideal to do that, but if you did do it, you would be yotze the mitzvah. That's what I would say. That
you have to come specifically it says it's supposed to you have a thing, you're supposed to stay the taste is supposed to remain in your mouth. If you
right.
swallow
Yeah. So first of all, it said you're referring to the Mishnah, which is coming up, which is Ein Maftirin Achar Pesach Afikomen. So we say that the Tam Matzah should be befiv, but 1 minute. But in Achinami, if you were Boleya it, you yotze the mitzvah. That's all I could say. In other words, we're not saying this is ideal. Ideally speaking, you should chew it. But even if you didn't chew it, you know, you're yotze the mitzvah. Let me see where it's.
How is it physically possible to swallow something without tasting it?
It's very easy.
It in your mouth, right?
Like a pill. You swallow
like a pill. Like let's say I take a little piece of matzah and I just swallow it and I don't chew it.
Yeah, but aren't you supposed to take at least a chazayas of matzah?
So you take different quarter chazayas, and then you swallow it.
Yeah, but
it.
I mean, if it's on your tongue, technically you're already tasting.
Wrap
it in saran wrap.
Yeah. Well, what's coming up?
I don't want to taste it. I want to get rid of the mitzvah.
Yeah. Well, right. The only thing is, we'll talk about the saran wrap coming up shortly. The Gemara's going to have something similar.
Does it need a hechsher?
Ha 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 ha. 1 minute.
Rabbi, then we say you can't mix matzah and maror together. You're not yotze at all. Now he's
saying that's a very good question. Now I didn't come up to that yet. You're one line ahead of me. Let's do one thing at a time. Okay. So bala matzah yatsa, bala maror lo yatsa is what we said so far. Okay? So everybody mute themselves again. Okay? So if I swallow the matzah, I'm yotze. I swallow the maror, I'm not yotze. Now, the next line is, I think, what Yosef was asking on, but before we'll explain it, and then we'll come to his question. Bala matzah maror, let's say I swallow both of them together. So I swallow the matzah and the maror together. He says, yidei matzah yatsa, yidei maror lo yatsa. So I'm yotze the matzah. Because the matzah, I can be yotze with bliya, and the maror, I'm not yotze. So then Yosef was just asking me, how could that work out? Let's look at Tosfos, because Tosfos asked this question, Yosef, around six lines above where it gets wide. Yidei matzah yatsa, yidei maror lo yatsa, v'im tomar, kim in shein b'maror zeh, mitzvah midrabanan. Now, this maror is not even a mitzvah midrabanan. It's a zero mitzvah with this maror. So this is right, because this maror, I'm not yotze mitzvah at all. So this, he says, libatel maror lahi matzah debahade. So this is what Yosef asked. So it should be mivatel the mitzvah of matzah. Here the Gemara says, if I swallow the matzah and the maror, I fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, not the mitzvah of maror. But we said before that if there's another time that gets mixed in, it's going to
nullify,
destroy the whole mitzvah. So the Gemara says, v'yesh lomar, Beetle is only shaykh to get into the conversation when I chew them both together. Then I can talk about one tam being mevatel the other tam. Da'az mevatel tam echad and chaver. One tam will be mevatel the other tam. He says, aval shem shleimim, but when they're both complete, afilu ye yoter me chaveru lo mevatel. If they're In other words, I'm just swallowing it whole, and I'm not chewing it. So one is not going to be vatel the other one. That's what Tosfos says. Okay.
Okay, I missed the answer. Can you repeat that, please?
Again, Tosfos says that one thing can be mevatel the other mitzvah if I chew them. If I chew them, one could be mevatel the other mitzvah. When I'm not chewing them, they're not going to be mevatel the mitzvah. So there's ati tam maror mevatel the tam matzah. The tam is going to be mevatel, but I don't have the tam, so it's not going to be mevatel.
Got it.
Okay? All right, that's what Tosfos says. Although, what I was bothered with, that's a steer to what I said on Amud Aleph. Remember, we said Amud Aleph, where we said within, according to one side, within Hillel, when I eat the maror with the matzah, I'm doing the mitzvah of the maror. Even though the matzah, remember the korech, even though the matzah is matzah d'rishus, it's similar to what we're talking about over here. So the Ran said over there, the only thing you have to come on is to say like what the Ran said over there, that since that was the original minag and they established it that way, it's not mevatelit. Otherwise, I don't know what to say. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. Now, now we're up to sort of like the saran wrap, you said, Michael. So not quite, but close to it. So the Gemara says, krachan b'sivu b'la'an. Now, let's say I wrap the matzah and the maror. Siv is like the best. It's like, I don't know, like a piece of bark or something, but something inedible. I wrap them both in this best of the date palm tree, and then I swallow it. So now it doesn't even touch my throat. It just goes through. It's like a pill or whatever. Like Michael with the saran wrap. I see he's looking at me, but that, that's the case of the Gemara. Bla'an, krachan b'sivu bla'an, afi de matzah nami lo yatsa. Then I'm not even yosi the mitzvah matzah. In other words, that's not even called achila. In other words, if nothing's touching my throat, it's just going down whole. That's not even called achila. Let me see what he has here. He says, it's not considered an act of achila. It's in, like throwing a stone into a bag. Okay.
Is that achila?
Say again, what?
Yom Kippur, would that be considered achila? Yom Kippur.
So remember, we discussed this when we did this different.
Right. I forgot.
Remember achilas grono and achilas meyav? Do you remember? Right. Hanas grono, Hanas meyav. There was a question by Yom Kippur. What is it that the Torah prohibits on Yom Kippur? He doesn't say achila by Yom Kippur. It says kichol anefesh shalu tuneh, the one that's not afflicted, you know, v'nichrata. So what is it that the Torah is trying to prescribe on Yom Kippur? Is it hanas grono or hanas meyav? So if it's hanas grono, so then and in this case, it sounds like there's no hanas grono. So then lakora, then you wouldn't be violating the Torah. But if it's hanas meyav, so in the stomach it all gets mixed in, and he's going to feel satiated. So then you might have a problem. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? All right, let's go on. So Amar Rav Simi Barashi, Matz Lefnei Kol Echad V'Echad. Now Rav Simi Barashi says, now remember, Bizman Chazal, everybody ate at their own little mini table. Everybody sat down and had like on a couch and had a little table in front of them. And so Rav Simi Barashi says, Matz Lefnei Kol Echad V'Echad. This matzah in front of each person has their own matzah, like we would say three matzahs in front of everybody. Marur Lefnei Kol Echad V'Echad. Everybody has their own marur. And everybody has their own charoset. He says, but we're only oker the shulchan. At a certain point in time, we take the table away and then we bring it back, right? Like before the manashtana, we take it away and then we bring it back. So we only do that before the one who's reciting the Haggadah. Bizman Chazal, only one person would recite the Haggadah. Everybody would listen and be yotze with his recitation. So you're only going to uproot the table for the one who's reciting the Haggadah. Rav Huna Omer, Kulu Nami, Lefnei Mi She Omer Haggadah. He says, Rav Huna says everything is one. In other words, all the matzahs, all the maror, whatever you got, is in front of the one saying the Haggadah and not in front of everybody. V'hilchata k'Rav Huna. And the halacha follows Rav Huna in this, that it's only the one who's reciting the Haggadah, everything in front of him. All right, now, he says here, Lama Okrin or Shulchan, why do we lift up the table and take it away? Amri Debe Rabyanai, Kdeshia Kirutino Kod V'Yishalu. So he says, so the children will see and ask, how come you take away the table? We didn't even eat yet. He says, Abaye, Habayativ Kami de Rabba. Abaye was sitting before Rabba, who was his uncle and his Rebbe, Chaza, when he was a youngster. Chaza the Kamadli Takami Kame. He saw the taking away the table from Rabba. Amar Luhu, he said to the people, Adain lo achalton, Adain lo achlinan, Atu kama akriya takami, come on. And we didn't even eat yet. And you took away like the whole table away from us, the platter table. Because Amarli Rabba, Rabba said to him, Petartan milomar nanishtana. You've exempted us from saying manishtana. In other words, you, the manishtana is in essence, why is this night, you know, so special, this, that, the other. So he says, you've exempted us from saying it. You know, I don't have, let me see where this, one second, let me. All right, I don't want to, can't take it out right now, but that's one of the rise from in the Siach HaGrid about who says Manishtana, whatever. But anyway, but the all right, so that's that piece. All right, I'm going to go on. Any questions, comments, or thoughts? All right, now we're four lines from the bottom. Amar Shmuel, Lechem Oni, Lechem Shonim Lav Dvarim. Like the Torah refers to matzah as Lechem Oni. Now, lechem oni, we typically translate as the bread of affliction. But here the Gemara has a drasha, like oni can be from Lashon to be onin. Onin can be like to like banita b'amarta is really to recite loudly. We would say answer, but ona could be like to recite loudly. So lechem oni, that's lechem that you recite things over. So he says, lechem oni, lechem sh'onin lav dvarim. Tani nami hachi lechem oni lechem shonim lo dvarim harbei dvar acher lechem oni ani k'tiv. So it's written in the Torah like ani ma ani darko shadarko beprusa af kan beprusa. So an ani typically eats like a slice of bread. He doesn't have a whole loaf. So here also beprusa. So that's by the matzah we have. That's why we break the middle matzah. In other words, so the it gets into the issue. You know, according to the sheet of the Rambam, the Rif and the Rambam. Hold, you only have two matzahs on Leil HaSeder. That's the sheet of the Rif and the Rambam. And that one is broken and one is full. That'll be the way it works. So
how do you make a motzi on the broken matzah?
Yeah. So the way the Rif and the Rambam will hold, that's exclusive for what you'll do. You'll make the motzi will be on those two, and then you'll eat from the broken matzah. That'll be the way you'll do it. And even though you won't have two complete loaves, that'll be the shinui on Pesach that we have lechem oni. That'll be that way that goes. That we Ashkenazim, we follow the sheet of the Rush, and the Mechaber, I think, follows this way as well, that they have three matzahs, you break the middle matzah, the idea is I have Lechem Mishnah, the simple pshat, Lechem Mishnah is the upper and lower, and then the Prusa is for Achilas Matzah, but some want to say it's the other way around, so we try to have a Kazayas from both the upper and the middle one. Now, the third thing is, Dabar Acher, Ma Darko Shel Ani, Hu Masik V'Ishto Ofa, and Ani, in other words, it's Lechem Oni, but it's the bread of a poor man. That's what the Gemara is saying. So again, so the first pshat was Lechem, that you're Oni Dvarim, that you recite things over it. Then the second one, it's written Ani. It's like the Ani eats a prusa. And the third pshat is, again, going with the idea of Ani, that it's a poor person. He says, Ma dar koshel Ani, hu masik v'ishto ofa. He heats up the oven and his wife bakes. In other words, they don't have a lot of money and a lot of food, and they heat it up. And when the oven's heated up, we want to cook right away, guys. We don't have a lot of fuel. We want to get going with this. So he says, Afkanami, hu masik v'ishto ofa. Here too as well. So the. There's a nitziv on this. I've spoken about this in the past. Remember, he says that there are some mitzvahs where the hachana is written in the Torah, and matzah is one of them. So the nitziv in this Hamik Sha'ala, he says that there are different mitzvahs in the Torah. Some mitzvahs where the hachana is written in the Torah, some where the hachana is not written in the Torah. So with the hachana for the mitzvahs written in the Torah, he holds mitzvah bo yoter mibshlucho. It's a mitzvah for me to do it rather than have a shliach do it. So one of the mitzvahs where he says the hachan is written in the Torah is by matzah. So from that, it's more preferable for a person to go and bake his own matzahs. That's why people go down, I mean, ideally to these matzah factories and try to do something. Though my understanding is like today, they don't let you do too much because they don't know if everybody knows what they're doing with it. But they would maybe let you do something, you know, pick up something, bring something to be involved with the baking of the matzahs. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did tonight so far?
Yes. According to your opinion that everyone has their own table, why would everyone have their own table?
That's the way that they ate. In other words,
everyone has their own matzah, own
In other words, that's the way they always ate. They didn't have a big like dining room table like we have. Like that's the way that that's the way society lived. Everybody has their own table.
With their own matzah, with their own wine.
Well, that was the question. So the Gemara.
I'm asking why. Why would they do that?
So he's saying, like, is it better for me to have my own matzah, and I'll make my own hamotzi, or be yotzei with the matzah, the balabas, with the balabayas? Should I be?
Don't we always say it's better to make together?
So that's what the Gemara ends up saying. That it would be better for everybody to do it together. That's what the Gemara is saying. All right.
Are certain people that have minhagim to give every male a seder plate.
All right. I don't know what to say.
I do have a question in practice. I always wonder this every year, and that's why it makes sense to have your own, is how do you give everyone at the table a piece in each of the matzah and from the person who's leading the Seder with the Kara? It's just, can't pop
it out to everyone. Yeah, it is difficult. I mean, the way that you could do it is give them a little piece of matzah from the middle,
a little piece
on the top, and then they supplement it with other matzah. They have other matzah near them that they would supplement it with. That would be the way to do it. And it was like no different than a Friday night. Like you have a challah. Let's say you have 10 people at your table on a Friday night. So you give them like a slice of the lecha mishnah, and then maybe there's other bread board out or something.
Yeah, you got to give them a piece of each one because you're getting from the top one.
A little piece of each, and they could do it. But in a chinami, it does seem a little bit easier if everybody would have their own matzahs in front of them. I didn't really look into this so carefully. One second, let's say, let me see while you're here. Hilchot Rav Huna, let me take a look. Hilchot Rav Huna, give me 1 second. Tafayin Gimel Dal. Let me see the Machaber, what he says here. 1 second. Tafayin Gimel. Seif Dalin. Yeah.
Especially with the time pressure.
Yeah, 1 second. 1 second. Yeah. He just says, Mishmur says, you don't have to do it in front of Kula Noli Mishal Balabayit. Even if everybody has their own table, and especially that we all at one table, just the Balabayas needs to do it. But let me see what he says over here. Yeah, so he quotes Simon Tafai and Hey Sinon Vav. Give me 1 second. Simon Hey, 1 second. 1 second. Give me 1 second. 1 second. Siftan Vav. 1 second. Footnote 9. Let me see here. Right. So he quotes here that the Igros Moshe says that the Mesuvim should eat a kezias from the matzahs before the balabas. And that's Rav Eliashiv says they should have at least a kezias from the matzah shlema. So our matzahs, he says, are very thin. There's not enough kezaisim for all the people around it. So he says in the Igros Moshe that everybody should have like the matzahs in front of them. That's what Rav Moshe says. That everybody from the banim the chayvim mitzvot ilham lechem mishnah lefanav ulufnei shnayim biyachad. So in achinami, that's what Moshe says. It would be better that way. And then he says, 1 second. Yeah, and Rebbe Yashiv also holds that it's ru'i before the mesubim to have three matzahs in front of them. That's what he says. And then he said,
the middle one won't be broken. Should he break the middle one? Should it be broken off
and put on? No. In other words, if you're going like this, it sounds like everybody would have three matzahs in front of them and have their own like set of matzahs, and everybody would break their own middle matzah if you're doing it that way. Now, matzah. Yeah. So the Rama says a kezias from it. Everybody should get a kezias from it. But he quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that it could just be a little bit from it, I think. a little bit from the main thing. All right, I have to look. There's a very lengthy thing about this whole thing, so I would have to blean that, or I'll try to look at that a little bit
more. Does Moshe say everyone makes their own bracha also, or just have their own matzah?
Well, no. In other words, if you're going to have your own matzahs, let's say if everybody has their own three matzahs, so then everybody would make their own bracha. I'm not going to be yotze with the bracha from the Baal HaBas if I have my own matzahs here. So then I would make my own bracha. In other words, if I'm going to be yotze with his bracha and he's going to break off the piece of matzah for me, so then I'll be yotze with his bracha. But if I'm going to have my own matzahs and then I'll make my own bracha on the matzahs. I don't need to. That would be the way it would go. All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? All right. Let me end the recording. 1 second.